Are you ready to talk about Padres off-season baseball?
We've got you covered.
It's the holiday season. The new year's just around the corner, and we're here with the cheeriest man on earth, Jesse Agler.
I don't like a lot of things in life. Like, I like baseball, right? And I like football. But, you know, it's just, I like them just like I like them. But I don't, like, geek out.
And on the other end of the spectrum, we've got Bill Center.
Just having a blast being here.
It's the last show of 2014, and we're talking about the newly beefed up Padres, who've acquired Matt Kemp, Justin Upton, Will Myers, Derek Norris, and Will Middlebrooks. And now, it's time for Padres Social Hour from the Social Lounge at Petco Park. Here's your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Hey, Happy New Year, everybody. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. When A.J. Preller was hired in early August, Bill Center, did you ever in your wildest baseball fantasies imagine we'd be sitting here right before New Year's, 2014, 2015, talking about Matt Kemp, Justin Upton, Derek Norris, Will Myers? This is absurd.
I thought we'd be talking about Matt Kemp, and I was going to be very happy. In fact, for a couple of my buddies are baseball fans, and as a trick, just a joke, Christmas present, I printed out a copy of the new 40-man roster for him.
let's talk. We got a lot to talk about,
right?
Obviously.
Absolutely.
I mean, since we last did a show, a lot has changed. A lot has gone differently. And as you heard in the open, a beefed-up Padre roster. It really is. It is beefed up. There is power here. I think that's sort of the consistent thing when you talk about all these deals. Let's run through these deals real quickly. We're not going to mention all of the players, just kind of, you know, some of the principal guys. All right, so it all starts out with the Matt Kemp deal. He comes over with the catcher, Fedorovich, Grandal, Joe Wieland, and Zach Eflin go up to Los Angeles. So we'll see Yasmani, assumingly on opening day, at Dodger Stadium. And that'll be an interesting night day for Matt Kemp, I imagine, an interesting week for Matt Kemp. But, I mean, okay, there you go. That was the first one, and there was some drama. We were waiting, and the physicals and the hips and all that stuff. We get through all of that. Matt Kemp becomes a Padre. You say, great, thumbs up. But even by the time that trade went official, we were already sort of looking on to the next thing.
Right.
Which is insane when you think about it, because like you said, a couple of months ago, if you said, hey, the Padres are going to trade for Matt Kemp, you would have been very, very excited just on his face. But then Derek Norris, the catcher from the Athletics, comes down. You send Jesse Hahn and R.J. Alvarez up there. Alvarez, the relief pitcher, we saw him a little bit this year. He was acquired in the Houston Street trade with the Angels last season. Okay, so now you got two. You got a new catcher. All right, Grandal goes. You add a catcher. Then you got the crazy trade, the 11 players, the three
right.
teams that essentially brings Will Myers here, and it sounds like he's going to be your center fielder.
Right, and it also brought a catcher that they turned around and moved to make something else. You know, there's an interesting subplot because the Myers trade actually came before the Norris trade. Tampa Bay wanted R.J. Alvarez in that trade, and Preller said, we're not going to give up Alvarez. Tampa Bay wanted him. They settled for Birch Smith. That left Preller with R.J. Alvarez, who the A's really needed as part of that trade for Norris. It was really brilliant. These things just don't happen in a vacuum.
No.
He made one knowing what was coming in the other. When he gets Hannigan, he knows he can trade him to Boston for Middlebrooks because Boston wants the catcher. They wanted Hannigan before, but they couldn't.
They wanted the defensive catcher.
Right,
yeah.
They had no way to get to him. But the Padres, when they acquired him, having also gotten Norris, had the way to package Hannigan to Boston for Middlebrooks.
Makes perfect sense. When I imagine A.J. Preller now, all I see is a guy juggling like 12 balls. Can somebody photo? We've got a lot of very funny A.J. Preller photoshops that have been made in the last few weeks, but I would like to see a juggling one because that's what I think about when we haven't even talked yet about Justin Upton.
Right.
You just sort of passingly mentioned Will Middlebrooks. We'll talk more about all of these moves. But, yeah, like, I just picture the guy juggling all these balls because, as you said, well, hey, no, you can't have Alvarez because in the back of his mind he wants to move Alvarez in another deal. It's really wild
right.
stuff.
And he gets Hannigan knowing I got somebody else out there that wants him. It was an incredible – and I I know that word is thrown around an awful lot, but when you look in Padres history, that was probably the most unique 72 hours in Padres history in terms of trades being made.
It was wild.
Right. Maybe not the biggest singular trade. I still think that's Caminiti and Finley. But when you package it all together, those 72 hours were incredible.
All right. So Kemp, Norris, Myers, Upton, Middlebrooks. Are brought in. Bill will have an interview with Matt Kemp. We'll play back for you next segment, a one-on-one conversation with him. Upton comes from Atlanta. Max Fried, Dustin Peterson, and the speedy Malik Smith head back to the Atlanta organization. Upton's situation is different than the rest of these guys.
Right.
We'll get to that in a moment. And then to just sort of tie up the other deal that we mentioned, Wilmer Middlebrooks to Ryan Hannigan, who came from Tampa Bay in the Myers deal. All right, so you're plopping Middlebrooks over at third base. It sounds like, if you heard Buddy Black in the press conference, it's going to be Upton in left, Myers in center, and
right.
And Matt Kemp in right. I said Upton is different. That's because he's the only one of these guys that is not under team control for the next several seasons.
Right.
He's the rental. Quote-unquote. He's going to be a free agent at the end of this season.
Now, and there's a possibility that you may, try to sign him. I think now it's pretty evident that there's a push here by the Padres. They want to win this year. There's clearly a push going on here. So he's going to play for you. If you don't re-sign him, you've got Hunter Renfroe, who, again, like we were talking earlier, you didn't touch any of your top three pitchers. You didn't touch any of your top three prospects. And your bullpen was unscathed through all of this trade work.
It's really, really, really wild. That's the word I keep coming back to. And I mean, it's funny. You talk to fans. You see stuff on Twitter or, you know, blogs, wherever. And people, like, it seems like so many people, we don't even know how to react to this. Like, it's hard to comprehend after the inactivity that the Padres have had this time of year for many, many years now. Not only is adjusted here, it's just completely flipped on its head.
Right.
It's not just a little bit of activity. It's this flurry of activity. And we're all sitting around not really joking and saying, well, what's the next move?
Right, because there have to be more moves now, because you've got this surplus of outfielders. You've got four outfielders that you've got held over, and there's certainly a market for Seth Smith. So, all right, AJ, it's been a week. What are we going to do?
Yeah, well, we're not even into January yet, and the Padres have already made trades with the Dodgers, the A's, the Rays. I'll count the Nationals because it was a three-team deal, the Braves and the Red Sox.
Right.
That's just like December.
Right. And you've signed, and you've also gone out in the past 2 weeks and signed two pitchers.
Yeah.
There's a risk-reward to both of them, but if Josh Johnson and Brandon Morrow are healthy, you're in great shape.
They'll be part of that conversation. Spring training is going to be interesting. We'll get to some fan questions later because I know people do have questions about the pitching. You know what the top three spots in your rotation look like right now.
Right.
You figure Despaigne is in there somewhere. And then what? And that's not necessarily something that's going to be settled anytime soon. But we got time to get to that. We've got plenty of time.
You got Robbie Erlund. You got Matt Whistler. You got a lot of prospects. In addition to Johnson and Morrow.
It's one of those deals where spring training comes and they work with Darren Balsley and they work with Buddy Black and you throw them out there and you see who looks good. You see who's healthy. That's it. Guys are going to get hurt. I mean, that's unfortunately the nature.
But now you do have some depth at AAA. You still have some starting pitching depth at AAA. You haven't wiped out your AAA rotation. So I am very impressed by what AJ Preller has done here.
Yeah, that you should be.
Yeah,
we all should be, and I think we are, and the fans are, and it's a lot of fun.
What's fun to me is, like, there was a day when all this was coming down that the fan base was a little bit in shell shock about, they knew they had gotten, but what had they given up? And then since then, there's been a sense of giddiness amongst Padre fans. You look on Twitter, people are eager for the season to get started.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. All right, so Matt Kemp press conference, about a week ago now.
Right.
Was a big-time event, right?
Yes.
And one of the cool things here, Blooper and his buddies from the video department here at the Padres, they basically went paparazzi on Matt Kemp, and they followed him around all day long at Petco Park. And so we got the video for you. Here you go. This is Matt Kemp, his first day as a San Diego Padre press conference, all that, they stalked him. Poor Matt. Oh, we're sorry, Matt. But they followed him along around all day long.
But he had a smile on his face whole time. He enjoyed it. I mean, I was impressed by Matt Kemp by the way he handled that day.
All right, so Blooper and the guys, they followed Matt Kemp around all day long. Have a look.
How you doing?
Brian
Perlman. Hey, this is crazy because this is the first time I've ever wore any other jersey in my life.
How you doing, man?
What's going on?
Welcome.
Thank you, man. I'm happy to be here. So you've been a busy man.
Yeah, we're trying, man. Yeah. I just talked to Justin Upton.
Oh, yeah. I talked to him this morning.
Yeah, he told me that.
So, he's ready to go.
Thank you. More young talent on this Padres team than at any time in recent memory.
In the stands in 2015. This is going to be big.
All right, day one of Matt Kemp. Maybe my favorite part of all that is hearing the conversation he has with A.J. Preller about Justin Upton.
Right.
Preller goes, I just got off the phone with Justin Upton. Yeah, I talked to him this morning. Like, these guys are excited as we are, and I think that's a lot of fun. All right, when we come back, Bill and Matt Kemp, one-on-one interview with the first of the many big pieces that the Padres added this December. Time now for the picture of the day presented by Sony. The picture is taken on the new RX10 Sony camera. Visit the Sony store at Fashion Valley to check out their cameras today. Oh, yeah. That is what you call a big-time photo op. Matt Kemp with ownership and management and Buddy Black at the press conference when he was introduced right here at Petco Park. We'll take a break. When we come back, Bill goes one-on-one with Matt Kemp.
Welcome back to your guide to the 2014 Padres offseason. This is Padres Social Hour, the offseason special from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Matt, welcome to the San Diego Padres. When I first saw the headlines, Matt Kemp coming to the Padres, my first thing was I pinched myself and then I did a yay. I'd like to start. When did you first hear the rumors, and what was your reaction when you first found out that you were officially coming to the Padres?
I was hearing about the rumors probably about maybe three. I mean, I think it's been going on for quite some time. But, you know, rumors are rumors. You never really think anything is going to happen till it happens. And when it did happen, what I thought about it, I was just like, oh, you know, there's some teams out there that really, really want me. And They're saying that they want me, and I mean I really didn't know what was gonna happen, but woke up one morning, and one of my family members gave me a text message saying, "Whoa, that was the text message," and I looked at it, and I knew something was happening, and I guess he saw something on Twitter or something saying that I got traded, and then probably about 6 hours later I got that call saying I was traded to the San Diego Padres.
What was your reaction coming 120 miles south from somebody else in the net? I mean, from the Dodgers to the Padres. What was your reaction to?
I mean, at first it's shocking because, you know, I've been with the Dodgers for 10 years. So being with them, coming up in that organization, them giving me a chance to play in the big leagues was big. I thought the Dodgers was the only team that I would ever play for. I think when somebody starts out with a team, they feel like that's the team that they're always going to play for, and that's where they're going to end their career. And that's kind of what I thought, but you know, I know for them and for me, I mean, this game is a business, and I mean, I'm excited for the new opportunities. I'm happy where I'm at. I have a house out here. My family's gonna be out here, so I'm excited about the new chapter in my life.
You know, a lot of people say you can't hit in this ballpark. This is a pitcher's ballpark, but you have had good success here.
Yeah.
What do you like about Petco Park?
It's a good place. You can see the baseball really well. The backdrop. You know, the colors of the backdrop is real dark. You know, sometimes those batter's eyes really, really, they really give you an advantage over other ballparks. Some people hit well in different ballparks. I obviously hit well in this ballpark, so hopefully I can carry that over into this coming up season and you know, give the Padres some success.
So this wasn't the black hole as some hitters see it.
I'm not. The thing about it is, when I'm on, I'm on. You know, there's really no ballpark that can hold a good hitter as far as like me or Will Myers or Justin Upton. Or, you know, some of the new additions to the Padres. I feel like when you're in the zone, there's no ballpark that can hold any great hitter. And you know, we've had some success over our careers, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
You know, you just mentioned two other players that the Padres have acquired, Will Myers and Josh Upton, and now Justin Upton, and now we got Derek Norris coming in.
I forgot about him too.
Right.
There's been a lot going on this past couple of days.
Right.
It's been hectic.
I mean, it's been crazy. But to add three pieces like that in addition to yourself, and everybody knows it's hard if you're the only hitter in the lineup.
Yeah,
but
sure.
To add three pieces like that, what does it mean to
Matt
Kemp?
AJ and those guys told me that they weren't finished trying to make something happen around me and the ball team. You know, sometimes it's hard to go out there and make those acquisitions without giving up some of your best players. And one thing I told AJ when I got traded over, I said, please don't give up some of those horses you got on there on the mound.
Right.
So you got a lot of great pitchers over there. Don't give those guys up.
Didn't have to touch the pitching
and
at all.
And the thing about it, he told me he was going to do that, and he did it. And I was surprised with what he got and not giving up any of those guys. I was very shocked. And, I mean, those guys have done a great job at building a new team, and this is going to be a new atmosphere here in San Diego.
So what's your reaction to, since you arrived here or traded, to the last three trades? I mean, were you surprised to see those pieces fall?
You know, I had asked those guys, I said, y'all got anything else up y'all sleeves? And they said, oh, we think we got a couple more things cooking. We got a couple more things up our sleeves. They wouldn't tell me what it was, but, you know, every day I've waken up, it's been something different. It's been a new acquisition to the team, and I get more excited and more excited every year. And I think I think the NL West is starting to see this team shape up, and with the arms we have and the lineup that we're going to have, it's not going to be one of those pushover teams. We're going to be able to score runs and shut people down on defense.
Four bats without giving up an arm.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's some talent.
I don't know. I actually don't know how they pulled it off.
I don't either, but I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm happy with what
you're happy.
Happened. Yes.
You know, the outfield here is really big.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some question as to you, Myers, and Upton, how it all falls together. It's a big outfield. What do you think defensively?
I think we're going to be good. We go out there and do what we need to do. You know, defense is very big. And especially when you have those great pitchers with the great bullpen, you need to have good defense. And, you know, we're going to definitely concentrate on that in spring training and try to be the best defensive team in all of baseball.
Where do you see yourself playing?
Right field.
So we're going to have Myers in center?
I honestly don't know what they're going to do right there.
You got right. That's all you know. Is
yeah,
you got right.
I think I got right. You know, Will is a little bit younger than me. He's got those fresh legs, man. So maybe he can get out there and track some of them baseballs down.
Plus, you were first here, so you called Dubs?
I called Dubs. Yeah. I got dibs on right field.
So we got you got the number 27 too.
Yes.
So what is it going to take? What are you going to have to give Solarte to pull this off?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I've always heard so many different things that people have given other people. I'm asking what he wants. You know, that was his number. You know, and I'll ask him if there's something that he needs or something that he wants, and we'll see what we can do.
You got your spot picked out in the clubhouse?
They gave me one. It's a nice little corner spot.
Corner spot? Okay.
Nice little corner spot. I'm ready to go.
Close to the trainer's room?
Yeah, pretty close to the trainer's room, so I can give me some aspirin or something like that when I need it.
That's the pole position.
Yeah, exactly.
So this spring, there's been some talk recently mm-hmm. about your hips, mm-hmm. arthritic hips.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw it out. What about the hips?
There's nothing wrong with my hips, man. My hips feel fine at the moment. I think, you know, you playing baseball for so long. I was an active kid, man. I played a lot of sports, you know, baseball, basketball, football, traveled a lot, played all these different sports, and I've been playing up here at a high level for a long time. So I'm sure if you go and do MRIs on any baseball player, there might be some type of arthritis somewhere in some of their bodies. And, you know, I train hard and take care of myself. That's all I need to worry about. And I go out there and play my game. I'm not worried about any type of arthritis or anything like that.
Who was the last ball player you saw who was 100%?
None.
Right.
There's never been one. There's always some type of ache or pain in your body, especially playing 162 games out of a whole season.
And that's the plan, to play 162?
That's always the plan. I learned that from one of my best friends, Juan Pierre. He always told me that I always needed to play every single game. Don't let up. You know, always give your team the best chance to win, and that's always been my main focus, to try to play as many games as I can.
Matt, I think any questions about where you are physically were answered in the second half of last season.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have to be very happy with how you finished.
I'm definitely happy with how I finished. You know, I wish we could have went further into the playoffs and things like that, but you know, I felt really good. I got my confidence back. I got my swing back, and I'm excited to bring that to my new organization, the Padres.
You know, at the second half of last season, there were already some rumors out there that you might be coming to the Padres. It might be a possibility. And I'm beginning to think you're having such a great second half. This is going to spoil it.
Yeah. I honestly thought me having that second half that I was going to be good, and nothing was going to happen, but. Like I said, as a business, I think they have other plans in mind, and I wasn't part of that fit. So, like I said, there's no bad blood, no nothing like that. I'm happy with where I'm at right now. I'm excited, and I'm ready to go.
Real quick, where do you see yourself in this order, batting order?
I'm gonna let Buddy decide that.
Oh,
where would you put me?
Second or third?
Second or third. Oh, okay. I don't think Buddy would want me hitting second. I think he wants me to drive in some runs. So I say either three or four.
Yeah. Well, that was. But you got to get guys on base. That's
you're right. I'm sure there can be some guys you can get. There's some guys we can get on base.
Hey, listen. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, man.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
The season may be over, but baseball never stops. This is your place to talk Padres off-season baseball. It's Padre Social Hour. The off-season special from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
All right, welcome back to the show with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Nice interview with Matt Kemp last segment. Hope you enjoyed that. He's excited. You can tell. He's enjoying this. He's looking forward to it, it looks like, as much as we all are. And middle February, pitchers and catchers, I think, are on the 19th. Position players a couple of days later. That first full squad workout in Peoria, that's going to be a lot of fun, seeing all these new pieces in action.
I would imagine with the number of new faces, the position players will show up.
Yeah, you'll see some guys.
You'll see.
Yeah.
That's normally with when they're new to a club, they'll be their first day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And here we are again, you know, just a couple of days before New Year's. And already kind of like chomping at the bit for spring training. And as we've said, there's no way the Padres are done. There are more moves to be made. And what kind of moves? Well, that's a good question. Here are some other good questions. We asked for Twitter questions. And so here we go. We're going to start things out with at TK Diego. And he says, okay, after ending hunger and spreading world peace, what is AJ Preller going to do next? Very cute, TK Diego.
Pretty good.
So what do you see as being the next move, Bill Center? I mean, where do we go from here?
I think, for one, that he's going to probably have to move Seth Smith. He's just got too many outfielders right now. He's got seven or eight. So I would imagine Seth Smith has an awful lot of value. He's going to be moved. I don't know for what exactly. Can you get a shortstop for him? That's probably their next thing on their wish list. But Seth Smith will be moved. Then you've got the questions of what do you do with Quinton and Maben.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the fourth outfielder, the only guy that really fits the bill of a fourth outfielder here, is Will Venable. Can play all three positions, hits with power, good pinch hitter, has speed if you want to use him as a runner, and a very good defensive outfielder. So there's your fourth outfielder. After that, you've got Quinton, Maben, and Smith. Smith gets moved. The question is going to be how do you deal with Maben and Quinton? You've got a lot of money tied up, but both of them probably on the outside looking in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. And it's funny because, you know, with this Kemp trade, we talked so much about the Dodgers having an excess of outfielders and kind of being in a weaker position because they had to move one of these guys. Maybe now the Padres are going to be in a little bit of a similar situation,
right,
where teams are going to look back and be like, hey, you're going to have to deal a couple of these guys or at least one of these guys So maybe that makes it a little bit more difficult on A.J. Preller. But as T.K. Diego said, he's already ended World Hunger. So,
right, exactly.
You know, what can't he
that's
do?
That was a great tweet.
All right. Ryan Cohen, 24, is up next with a Twitter question. He wants to know, Bill, would a top-of-the-line starter, say a San Diegan, Cole Hamels, make the Padres a playoff team? Let me start here. Do you think, as they are presently constructed right now, the Padres are a viable playoff contender?
I think right now they are.
Okay, so they don't even need a Cole Hamels, you're saying.
I think that at the very worst, they're going to contend for a wild card spot because, in my mind, the National League West is the best division in the National League. I think two teams at least are going to come from the National League West. I do think the Padres are a viable playoff contender right now. They add a Hamels somehow. I think that takes them to another completely new level because then you've got four solid starters, and you're gonna with this lineup, you're gonna create some havoc.
It would not come cheaply a deal for Cole Hamels.
And I'm trying to think of what parts they would have to give up for Cole Hamels. The one thing I heard, or I saw a rumor that Philadelphia would want Myers, and it's like, okay, where does that get you? But I would love to see Cole Hamels return to San Diego. I'm not so sure that can happen. I do like the way that the pitching is beginning to shape up.
Well, a month ago, you wouldn't have thought all these other guys would be here either. So
no, okay, right.
Let's learn our lesson there and keep an open mind.
Keep
it's more fun
mind.
That
right.
way. Anyway, all right, Gregory D. Hill is up next with a Twitter question. He says, are the Padres more likely to include Austin Hedges in a deal now that you've got Derek Norris under control for 4 years? We sort of mentioned this, right? You know, you didn't give up any of your top three prospects,
right.
of whom Hedges is obviously one, if not number one. Probably number two, but that's neither here nor there. He says, okay, you got a catcher under team control now for a while. Does that make it more likely that you could see Austin Hedges dealt?
I think that you could see Hedges dealt because, one, there's the Padres have a question about where his offense is going to wind up. You have I would put Hedges ahead of Norris defensively, but I would put Norris way ahead of Hedges offensively.
Yes.
And so Norris is going to be your catcher immediately, and I think that does open the door. If somebody were really interested in Austin Hedges, the Padres might move him.
Okay, so we'll keep an open mind about that as well. Here's a two-parter, okay? You got DBD625, you got Spencer. They want to know about pitching. So here, two-part question for you, Bill. Opening day starter, Ross Cashnow, or somebody not on the current roster? That kind of goes back to the Hamels thing, I would imagine. And then Spencer wants to know about the back end of the rotation. You know, what do you want it to look like? So what do you make of the pitching staff as it stands right now and what could happen?
Well, the opening day starter is going to be interesting because you can make a great argument for Cashner, but Ross was your best pitcher last year. And in the past, Buddy's, where he's had a chance, has always rewarded somebody who's had a great season, coming off of a great season. I think it's Ross or Cashner. I don't think anybody that.
What if they trade for Hamels?
It's still Ross or Cashner.
Yeah.
One of those two guys is going to be the opening day starter. Back towards the end, I mean, we've talked about Brandon Morrow and Josh Johnson coming in. I don't think Josh is going to be ready for the start of the season. If Morrow is ready, he might be your number four. But you've got Despaigne, you've got Robbie Erlin, you've got Matt Whistler. You have other alternatives here. I mean, yes, you lost Jesse Hahn. That probably would have been your number four, but you have certainly got enough to fill out a four and five. And if you do get a Hamels, which we're not counting out, then I
pushes
mean,
everybody back.
Pushes everybody back and makes a starting rotation. It not only makes the front four stronger, it makes all the way down into El Paso stronger.
I mean, if they're able to add a guy of Hamels' caliber to this rotation without giving up, you know, any of your sort of penciled-in major league starters,
right?
I think the Padres become a team that a lot of people would argue are among the favorites to win the National League pennant. I honestly, like, and I know I'm generally more bullish maybe, but you look at it right now. They're a wild card contending team,
right.
Or they should be, you would think, sort of as they are now. And projections, I get that. And you never know, injuries, all these things that can happen. But, I mean, if they add another guy of that caliber and everybody stays healthy, and that's no sure thing, as we've learned the hard way, I mean, that's an unbelievably well put together big league roster.
If you were to add Hamels, you'd have two number ones on your staff for sure. And I'm talking Cashner and Hamels because they've just got number one stuff. You'd have a strong number two pitching in the three spot, and you'd have a two or a three pitching in the four spot in Ian Kennedy. It is really, if you were to add a top-line pitcher like Cole Hamels, there would be a wow factor.
Yeah, all right. Something to dream about right. In the days and weeks ahead, and we'll see how the whole
but
thing
But I do think that would be expensive.
Out. Yes. Oh, no. It would be very, very, very right. expensive.
And I would imagine Hedges.
From a player standpoint.
Right. Hedges could be part of that. Maybe if Will Myers, I mean, if you did have to do Will Myers to get Cole Hamels and you could get Ben Revere back to play center field and bat in the top spot, there's a lot of things going. AJ, there's nothing in my mind that hasn't crossed AJ Preller's mind. So
that's probably correct.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But it is interesting to conject what he might be doing next.
It's a lot of fun. It's the kind of most the most baseball fun you can have this time of year. Simply put, and that's great. It's great for us. It's great for the fans. And I hope everybody's enjoying the ride. It seems like you are. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to zoom out a little bit, talk not just about the Padres, but about Major League Baseball in general. Joe Torre is going to join us. He's now the Chief Baseball Officer at Major League Baseball. Talk to him about instant replay and sort of the future of all of that after year one of expanded instant replay in Major League Baseball. Caught up with him recently at the winter meetings. Meanwhile, youth baseball, huge here in San Diego, and the Padres are going to host a free coaches development training for youth baseball coaches Saturday, January 10th. That's coming up right here at Petco Park. The clinic is going to provide both instruction and guidance on how to teach skill-based drills, run successful practices, and develop game strategies for coaches that have players ages 4 through 13. All interested coaches should register for the event at padres.com/clinics. Really cool. If you coach baseball players ages 4 to 13, check it out, padres.com/clinics. Take a break. When we come back, hear from Joe Torre about instant replay and the state of Major League Baseball.
The Padres might not be back until spring training, but we're back right now to talk Padres off-season baseball. It's Padres Social Hour,
the off-season special
from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Padres, you've been making a lot of news lately. And it all sort of began right at the end of the winter meetings, which coincidentally were here in San Diego. We were set up at the winter meetings the entire few days that they were taking place over at the Manchester Grand Hyatt over by Seaport Village here downtown San Diego. And one of the guys we had an opportunity to catch up with is Joe Torre, the new chief baseball officer. He's in charge of all the baseball stuff for Major League Baseball, and that would include instant replay. And so I asked Joe Torre, what did you think about year one of expanded replay?
I thought, considering John Schuerholz, our chairman of our committee, replay committee, said it's a three-year rollout, and we're still looking at it that way. But I thought the first year was really great. I thought it worked really well. There are some things we want to tweak, you know, maybe include another play or two. But overall, I thought it worked really well. The umpires certainly had to contribute to that happening.
We expect maybe tweaks then more than anything else moving forward?
Yeah, we're still talking about it, so I'm not keeping anything from you. We're just still talking about including maybe another play or two. And the one thing I when I talked to managers during the course of the season in 2014, there was some concern about how uncomfortable it was for them to stand out there and wait.
Yeah.
When I envisioned or allowed them to go out and use the challenge that way, I thought I didn't want to take away from them the reflex and the reaction of going out and jumping out of the dugout. But I didn't really plan on them just meandering out. So, we just don't – I didn't care what that looked like.
Yeah, the Earl Weaver burst out of the dugout turned into the Buck Showalter saunter out of the dugout, at least in Baltimore. The three words maybe we're hearing now more than anything else, particularly with the Arizona Fall League in the recent rearview mirror, pace of play, pace of game. A lot of experimentation there, some very interesting things. Well, what were the results of that experimentation?
Well, they're very positive. The one thing, being around the game my whole life, we always heard that's the way we've always done it, And you sort of get stuck in the mud a little bit. But I never was really one to include a clock. But I went out and watched the game in the Fall League. The clock didn't intrude in the game at all. I thought it was just there as a reminder to the players that, you know, we need to get in the box, we need to pitch, and really never really push the envelope. We had several violations, but I think it was in an effort to get used to what they were doing. Overall, I think the clock worked well, and it's something that we'll discuss. You know, it's obviously, you know, anything we do in regards to pace of game, player association, we have to make decisions in conjunction with them because they play the game, and, right. and we certainly understand and respect that.
How high a priority is that for your office?
Well, it's a priority. We don't want fans just yawning or thinking the games are lasting, you know. And it's really not, you know, Jesse, I don't think it's as much the length of the game as the dead time in
sure.
the game. You know, that's why it's called pace of game and not length of game. We want to eliminate the dead time a little bit. And if we can do that, if speeding up the pitcher a little bit would help, if, you know, hurrying in from the bullpen or even more so. And it's a little complicated for pitchers. I want to tell you that because, you know, you different times of the week and, of course, postseason, it's a different time limit in between innings. So, you know, if we can help them along in that regard, I think that could go a long way in having a little more consistency.
Great insight. Great to visit with you again. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right, Joe Torre at the winter meetings. Bill, quickly, he sounds very open to trying things out at the major league level.
I think Joe Torre is one of the best things about baseball. I think he has the feel of the fans, the feel of the players, the feel of the management, coaches, whatever. I think he is one of the smartest men in the game.
Yeah, no, that's really nicely said. All right, when we come back, how about another Hall of Famer or a soon-to-be Hall of Famer joining us on Social Hour. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to celebrate 10 years with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. When we come back, Dick Enberg will receive the Ford C. Frick Award from the National Baseball Hall of Fame this summer.
Getting you ready for the 2015 Padres. We're back with Padres Social Hour.
The off-season special.
Discussing the off-season and everything else Padres. Coming to you from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
So much Padre news. Obviously, we focused, and rightfully so, on Kemp and Upton and Norris and Middlebrooks and Myers. But there is another big piece of Padre news that took place in the last few weeks. And that is that Dick Enberg, the television voice of the Padres, will receive the Ford C. Frick Award from the Baseball Hall of Fame this summer. Dick, it was very nice to sit down with us right after the announcement was made at the winter meetings. And I said, hey, Dick, you're going to be a Baseball Hall of Famer. How does that sound? Here's what he said.
Just the word Cooperstown. You know, you grow up with loving baseball all your life, and Cooperstown becomes this Mecca where all the greats are able to visit, and that's not really the Hall of Fame. I'm going to be in Cooperstown. We're on a certainly not at the level of the Baseball Hall of Famers, but it's the culmination of everything that a young boy might wish as he grows up dreaming about this game and whatever role you might play in it.
You have accomplished a lot, and that's an understatement. As a professional, where does this rank?
I guess I could answer that more distinctly and clearly a couple of weeks from now, Jesse. But right now, the feelings that I have, I just can't remember, as I said, other than the birth of my six children, a day where I felt more emotional or more rewarded.
What's the thing you enjoy most about broadcasting baseball on television as compared to maybe some of the other sports?
Well, it's the most difficult game. It's the most demanding. It's the most personal, intimate. It's a game that is relentless. I mean, you've got almost 200 games a year. You can't get away from a bad losing streak, but you hope to get into a winning streak where the days fly by and you can't wait for the next game. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how tough it might be when a team is not playing well, that the test is when you wake up the next morning and you can't wait to get to the ballpark. I mean, that's the test. And that's really been the story of my feelings about baseball. And it's, you know, going back to what this day means to me is that baseball is such a family experience, and you hear that, we are family,
yes,
and it goes all the way back to my being a boy 1 year old, and they're teething me on a little baseball bat, it takes me all the way back to the emotions that I lived, not only as a fan rooting for the Tigers as a kid, and when they didn't play well, I'd actually cry if they weren't doing better, or my dad taking me to the first major league game, or my grandfather asking me questions about baseball that he'd kind of coached me on at 4 years of age, to coaching baseball, trying to play it, but not playing it well, only to the JV college level, to suddenly being able to call the games as an Angel announcer.
Come a long way since then. I want to ask you about the preparation that goes into a broadcast. I don't know, you know, everyday baseball fan has a sense of what goes into it. And I know, having talked to you about this before, it's something you really, really enjoy. But there's 162 regular season games, to say nothing of, spring training and ideally a postseason. How much work goes into each day's telecast?
Yeah, it is amusing. I know you get it, Jesse, and I have in all the sports. They think that we just walk into the booth as they walk into the stadium and buy a program and call a game. It doesn't work out that way. It's a shame that actually the preparation that we spend, the time preparing for a game, is to be ready for a game that isn't very interesting, so that you're prepared with other material, historical or humor or other ways, angles to go to divert the audience away from a bad game but keep them entertained so that they don't turn their set off or their radio off. So you get a great game, you don't need all that material. So we really prepare in a negative manner, hoping that we don't have to use it. But nevertheless, in baseball, there's always time. I mean, there's when you've got Tony Gwynn next to you and you're talking about a hitter in a slump, and the natural is to get into Tony's mind and how did you get out of a slump and who helped you when you weren't playing at the level that you were expecting of yourself. I think humor is a very important part of baseball broadcasts. And so, you know, you have got my Mark Grant sitting next to you who's willing to be self-deprecating with his humor. you've got a perfect, I won't say sucker, but in a way, that's what he is. He's such a sweetheart of a guy, and he's willing to laugh at himself. And he knows that you're not making fun of him, that you're just having fun with him. And that's a part. But it's getting there early, having time to not only read the notes that are prepared for you, but what else is happening in San Diego that day? What else is happening in the world that day? Maybe you went to a beautiful concert the night before. Well, there's no reason why you can't bring that as part of the coloring of a telecast. And hey, we're San Diego. And I think ultimately, more and more with each year, and that's a theme that I want to carry through this season. You know, this is, this San Diego in the front of the chair, this is all of us, and we are in a very small geographical market. There's no other major league team of the 30 that has a smaller geographical area. We've got, two major league teams to the north, the ocean to the west, the desert to the east, the border to the south. So it's us. And so let's all pull this thing together. And it starts with the players and the manager and the organization and us to represent that. But we are, and if we feel it, as Mike Krzyzewski said to his USA team, if you feel it, you own it. And we all can own it. And it makes it a lot easier if you win.
I'm fired up and ready to go. Let's start spring training right now. Dick, again, congratulations. Just a sensational honor, beyond well-deserved. Yep. Very happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. A great day, and I thank the Padres for their great support. Let's go get them.
All right, that's Dick Enberg. To see the full conversation or any of our other interviews, remember you can go to Padres.com. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little Hall of Fame with Bill before we get out of here.
Welcome back to your guide to the 2014 Padres offseason. This is Padres Social Hour,
the offseason special
from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
All right, welcome back. Congrats again to Dick Enberg going into the Hall of Fame, essentially, this
right.
Summer. Big-time honor. Before we get out of here, we're going to put Bill Center on the Cholula hot seat and talk to you about the Hall of Fame. You've got a vote. I am not a fan of the process. We've talked about this during this season.
Right, and I'm not necessarily.
And you're not necessarily, even though you're a part of it. You're critical of it, at times, and I think in a really good way. But ballots are due. Announcements are coming in just a few days from now. Any big surprises for you this year, and what do you expect?
No, I expect Randy Johnson will go in. I expect Craig Biggio will go in because he missed by a vote last time. I'd like to see Pedro Martinez go in, but I'm not quite sure it's going to happen this year. And then beyond that, there are two locals I voted for, Alan Trammell, who I really believe was every bit as good a major league shortstop as Ozzie Smith when you take offense and defense. And then I voted for former Padre catcher Mike Piazza. I threw his name in there.
Very nice. Okay, so very, very quickly, Randy Johnson, Pedro Biggio were the first three guys you mentioned. Did you vote for all those guys, if I may ask?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
Right, I did.
It's a mess.
Right, people that won't vote for people on the first ballot.
That's Bill Center on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap. For a bunch of delicious jalapeno poblano, check out the green pepper sauce flavor today. Hey, this was a lot of fun. Big thanks to Matt Kemp for stopping by. Joe Torre, Dick Enberg. We'll be back with our next show on January 12th.